Good morning. I thank all of you for being here this morning, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all know that, well, most of us know people who we have tried to talk to about the gospel, about God's word, and tried to explain to them why we believe what we believe, and try to show them things in the scriptures, at least I think most of us have. And sometimes it's well received, and sometimes it's and sometimes they just look at you like you're crazy. But even though they don't understand, or they act like maybe you're off your rocker because of what you believe in, don't give up, because it's important, and they need to know. They need to know what it says in both books, and they need to have a better understanding of it. So, because of the times that we live in, we're going through a lot of turmoil and a lot of anxiety in our lives, and people who don't even belong to the church, they can see things going on, and they don't, a lot of them don't like it. Some of them are fine with it. But they need to know what it says about what's happening. So if you would open your Bible to 2 Timothy. Starting with the first verse of chapter 3, it says, "This know also," I got to put this down because it's just, it's just getting in my face. Okay, first verse of third chapter of 2 Timothy, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Yeah, it's going to happen. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." And we all know people like that, right? I mean, you see people like that at the store. You see people like that on the highways. You see people like that at work, at school. We run into those kind of people all the time now. "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And yeah, this is what's going on in the world today. People are being led away captive by Satan, because they're just not paying attention. They don't care. They like their life as it is, and they don't want to give it up. And it's becoming more and more prevalent. So turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge thee," all of you, "therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." All of you, preach the word. I don't care if you do it out loud or you do it through your actions and your thoughts, but do it. Preach. "Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." That's where we are. "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Yeah. People are willing to go and listen and do anything as long as they don't have to give up their preferred little sins. Because they're not that bad, right? Well. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So, when you're out there and you are setting an example for them and they start asking, why do you do that? Why do you say prayer when you eat lunch in the cafeteria? Why do you, you know, why do you bow your head when you get to work and you sit down at your desk? You know, what's that all about? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And you feel like maybe they're making fun of you or they're you know, singling you out of the crowd and pointing at you and go, look at this guy. He believes in the great unknown. Okay? It's not like you're Matthew. Okay? What happened to Matthew? The apostle. Anybody remember? Angelita read it this morning. Because of his beliefs and his work and the things that he preached, they cut him in half. That's how he died. Okay? Just because they're pointing you out because you say prayer at lunch or you say prayer when you get to the job or you're kind to people and you say God bless you and you tell them that you're willing to pray for them, if they make fun of you for that, it's not like they're cutting you in half, right? Yeah? Yeah, it's not that bad, so we can keep this up. As long as they don't cut us in half, we're all right. Okay, this is in the Book of Mormon. Just in case anybody out there in the world that happens to listen to this sermon at some point in time that doesn't know what we know and doesn't know about these two books, I thought I'd go to the Book of Mormon and let them know what it says. Good morning, Sean. Good to see you. Okay, this is 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verse 1. Now I, Nephi, do speak somewhat concerning the words which I have written, which have been spoken by the mouth of Isaiah. For behold, Isaiah spake many things, which were hard for many of my people to understand, for they know not concerning the manner of prophesying among the Jews. For I, Nephi, have not taught them many things concerning the manner of the Jews. For their works were works of darkness, and their doings were doings of abominations. And yeah, Nephi, he's telling the truth. When he was still over in Israel, in Jerusalem, the things that were going on over there are just like the things that are going on today. Okay? There was all kinds of sin rampant through the church of God. People were sacrificing their babies to false gods that claimed to be of the Hebrew faith. There was a house built for the priests to live in that was connected to the temple. That house was built specifically to house the homosexual priests of the temple. So this stuff was going on back in the time of Nephi, and it's happening today. So he didn't want to teach his people about all of that stuff. He's trying to keep them on the straight and narrow path, but it was going on, and they had to leave because of it. Verse 4, wherefore I write unto my people, unto all they that shall receive hereafter these things which I write, that they may know the judgments of God, that they come upon all nations according to the word which he hath spoken. Wherefore hearken, O my people, which are of the house of Israel, and give ear unto my words. For because that the words of Isaiah are not plain unto you, Nevertheless, they are plain unto all they that are filled with the spirit of prophecy. But I give unto you a prophecy according to the spirit which is in me. Wherefore I shall prophesy according to the plainness which hath been with me from the time that I came out from Jerusalem with my father. For behold, my soul delighteth in plainness unto my people, that they may learn. Yea, and my soul delighteth in the words of Isaiah. For I came out from Jerusalem, and mine eyes hath beheld the things of the Jews, and I know that the Jews do understand the things of the prophets, and there is none other people that understand the things which were spoken unto the Jews like unto them, save it be that they are taught after the manner of the Jews. But behold, I, Nephi, have not taught my children after the manner of the Jews, but behold, I of myself have dwelt at Jerusalem. Wherefore I know concerning the regions round about. And I have made mention unto my children concerning the judgments of God, which hath come to pass among the Jews unto my children, according to all that which Isaiah hath spoken, and I do not write them. But behold, I proceed with mine own prophecy, according to my plainness, in the which I know that no man can err. Nevertheless, in the days that the prophecies of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, men shall know of a surety at the times when they shall come to pass. Wherefore they are of worth unto the children of men, and he that supposeth that they are not, unto them will I speak particularly, and confine the words of mine own people. For I know that they shall be of great worth unto them in the last days, for in that day shall they understand them. Wherefore, for their good have I written them. And as one generation hath been destroyed among the Jews because of iniquity, even so have they been destroyed from generation to generation according to their iniquities. And never hath any of them been destroyed, save it were foretold them by the prophets of the Lord. They were told it was coming, and they still didn't want to change. Sounds like a lot of people in the world today. They can see things happening in the world, and they blame it on anything and everything but God himself. Oh, it's just the way people are. Oh, that's just Mother Nature. Oh, that was, you know, that's just the earth. And oh, that's because of global warming. Oh, that's because we have too many cows, and we have too many cars, and we're burning up too much fossil fuel, and all of this stuff. It's got nothing to do with God. It's just the way it is. And we don't want to know what's coming. Turn to verse 89. Same chapter. And it shall come to pass that they which have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. They can be cut free if they haven't been bound up too tight. But there's only one thing that's going to cut them free. And you have to present it to them. It's that sharp two-edged sword, the Word of God, in its entirety and in its truth. That's the only thing that will set them free. Verse 116, But behold, in the last days or in the days of the Gentiles, yea, behold, all the nations of the Gentiles, all of them, and also the Jews, and it says nations of the Gentiles and of the also the Jews. The Jews have more than one nation. They just don't realize it. There's a lot of countries over here that are run completely entirely by the house of Israel. They just don't realize it. Both they which shall come upon this land and they which shall be upon other lands, yea, even upon all the lands of the earth, behold, they will be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations. And so here we are. Turn to the book of Genesis. Chapter 31, verse 22. Okay, this is the story of when Jacob was getting ready and trying to go back home. He had left his father-in-law in the middle of the night. He had taken his wives and his children and all of his belongings, all of his flocks and herds, and they had left in the middle of the night without saying goodbye to Laban. Well, Laban finds out 3 days later that they have left, and he is really upset. And so he hunts them down. It says, verse 22, and it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him, after Jacob, 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. So 10 days had gone by since he'd left. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. All right, Laban, when you confront Jacob tomorrow, watch what you say. Or else. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters and thou hast now done foolishly in so doing? What were you thinking? I didn't even get to tell my daughters and my grandkids goodbye and that I love them. What are you thinking, boy? It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Would God tell him the night before? But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So he admits it to Jacob. Your God talked to me last night and told me, watch what I say to you. Otherwise, I'd be doing everything I could to hurt you right now. I'm so mad at you. And now, though thou wouldst needs be gone, because thou swore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Doesn't that strike you as odd? If the God of the whole universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has spoken to you the night before and told you, don't touch him, don't hurt him, don't speak good or bad to him, you be nice to him or you're going to get it. If that God, the all-powerful God, had told you that the night before, would you still be worried about someone stealing your false gods? I know you wouldn't. I just think it's weird that, you know, you can be confronted by God himself and still want your false gods. Look at verse 42. And this is Jacob talking back to Laban. He says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my afflictions and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. I know God talked to you last night. He told you, you better be careful with me. I know it's true. So even Jacob knew. And yet, Laban still wanted his false gods. He even searched the whole camp. Well, we know that his daughter had stolen them from her dad, and that she had them hid underneath her so that he couldn't find them, and she lied to him about it was, you know, she was in the womanly way, and so she, you know, she kept them. Doesn't say why she stole them, but she stole them, okay? They were just false gods. It doesn't say they were idols made of gold, or it doesn't say they had any value to anyone but to Laban. Maybe he paid some carver to carve him some gods that he could worship, but they were his gods. And when he would ask them something that he wanted done, I'm pretty sure that things went the way he wanted it to go, because that's the way Satan works. If you're willing to worship Satan and you ask him, hey, would you help me with this? He's going to go, oh, yeah, I'll help you. My cousins, the Denhams, the ones that live out in the Lone Jack area, they had all of these RV travel trailers made. They made them themselves, great big, fifth wheels, and they all had these big trucks, and they went out, all of them decided to go on a vacation. They went out to the western part of the United States, and they were traveling around, and they were out in Arizona, and they were going down the highway, and it was a straight stretch through the desert, and it was hot, and they saw a travel trailer pulled off to the side of the road, out in the middle of nowhere. And they thought, oh, we need to stop and help this guy. So they all stopped. There was like six of these trailers pulled off the side of the road, and they walked up to this trailer, and there was a man standing outside his trailer, and he had a flat tire on the trailer. And he couldn't get it jacked up for some reason, but anyway, they offered to help, and they helped him. And they got it changed and everything, the oldest one, Dan, when they were ready to leave, he told the man, he says, well, I bet you're thanking God that we stopped by and was able to help you and answer your prayers. And he goes, oh, no, I don't pray to God. I pray to Satan. And Satan answered my prayers. And Dan was just dumbfounded. He goes, really? He goes, oh, yes. So there are people out there that are just like Laban. Crazy. But Satan leads you along and binds you with his flaxen cords until he has you so wrapped up, you can't get away. And you'll give everything to him, your soul, just to be able to do what you want to do. That's how he works. That's what's happening to the world. That's what was wrong with Laban. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Going to start in verse 13. And this is John. He has this vision, and Christ appears to him in this vision, and he speaks to him. And actually, I'm going to start at verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. So if you saw this, wouldn't you fall down? I know I would. I'd fall down like I was dead with fright, just like John did. And yet there are people out there in the world, when God speaks to them, they still turn their back on him. So when you go out and you talk to people about God, and they turn their back on you, are they really turning their back on you, or are they turning their back on him? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. His sons have become corrupted. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. They have not rejected thee. Yeah, they're not rejecting you. But they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Okay. You don't want to believe, after all the things that we've talked about and all the things that I have testified to you about through my actions, my words, my prayers, the things that we've discussed here at the job or here at school, or things that we're talking about right here in the grocery store, you want to reject God? That's fine. That's your choice. But I'll let you know, something's going to happen to you. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not till the end of your life. I hope it happens to you way before the end of your life so that you have a chance to change, to cut away those flaxen cords that have bound you. I hope you live that long, and I'll pray for you. I love you. Believe it or not, you're all my cousins. Go way back, but I'm still related to each and every one of you. And I care for you just like every member of my family. Say that to them, and then let them go. You can't force them. I mean, God himself spoke to Laban But he didn't force him. He just said, watch what you say, or else. And you won't like the or else. So they have their free will. But our job is to let them know. What does it say? What are we supposed to do? Why do we believe what we believe? Do any of you know anything about electrical panels, breaker boxes? Any of you ever taken the cover off of your breaker box and looked at all the wires and the breakers? Some of you are raising your hands. Yes, yes, okay. You see all of those breakers that flip the switches and everything, and there's a row here, and there's a row here, and there's wires coming down on this side, and there's wires coming down on this side, and it looks like a rat's nest in there. Okay? Well, those breakers coming down the middle, there's some on this side, and there's some on that side, and they have little switches on them. Okay? Every other breaker, okay, you have all these breakers lined up together. Every breaker is on a line that comes in from the overhead or the underground power line from the electric company. It comes into your house and goes into that breaker box. And there's power coming down to one side and power coming down to another side, and there's these bars underneath those breakers that those wires connect to, the big wires. There's these bars that come down underneath the breakers, and they have these fingers that come out. And in the middle, there's these posts that come up on each one of those fingers. And that's what your breaker connects to. That's the actual power, those posts that come up. That's where the electricity comes into the breaker. Okay? So you have these deals like this. And there's these posts coming up that they sit on, they clip onto. Okay, that's your power. But it's one from each line that comes in. You have two main lines coming in. Okay, what is stronger, 110 AC or 220 AC? 220 has more power in it, right? Okay, is it the same power as 110? It's electricity. Yes, it is the same power. It's just not the same amount of power. But it is the same power. It's electricity. Can it shock you? Oh, yeah. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. Especially if you're standing on a damp dirt floor in an old garage and you're barefoot and you happen to be messing with an old electronic calculator, one that has the keys like a typewriter, and you accidentally put your hands underneath that thing to pick it up and it goes, and goes all the way down through your feet. It hurts. Okay? Yeah, there's power. And it can get you. Thankfully, it wasn't 220 that I was plugged into. It might have blown my toes off. Okay? If David Maley were here, he would tell you that, you know those electronic diagrams on the back of your appliances, like your stove and your refrigerator, that you open up your little book that comes with it, and it shows you the wiring diagram and where all the circuits are and transistors and breakers and all that stuff, and the motor, and it's all, and you don't understand any of it. Okay? That diagram, electricians have a name for it, especially electrical engineers like David Maley. Okay? And he'll tell you that the thing that they call those diagrams, because it makes it so easy to understand how everything is laid out in your device, it's called a ladder diagram. It explains to them how the power works, where it goes, and what it's for, and where you might look for the problem that needs to be fixed. A ladder diagram. They found out it's the easiest way for them, for all the electrical engineers out there to understand, no matter where they're from, how things work in the machine that, or device, or appliance that you have. They laid it out in a ladder diagram. You can start at the top and go down through the ladder, trace your way through and find out what's what and where things go. Okay? It shows how to fix the power problem the plainest, simplest way. And that, if you look it up, you can look up electrical wiring diagrams, what are they called? What's a word for it? And it'll tell you, they call them ladder diagrams. Turn to Genesis chapter 28. Maybe if Laban, maybe if he had seen this, maybe he might have changed his mind. Chapter 28 of Genesis, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And I believe all of you know this story. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it, or descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So Jacob saw a ladder. I've talked to you about this before, but that ladder is a representation of God's word. That's the only way angels are able to do what they do, descend from heaven to the earth and ascend from the earth to heaven. That's the only thing that gives them the power to do this. It's God's word, because he has commanded them to do it. He has made it possible for them to do it through his word. Just like through his word, the whole world and universe was formed, just like us. We're here because of his word, because he made this. And that ladder was just a representation of his word, his power. There's two sticks to a ladder with a bunch of rungs tying them together. And it's a ladder diagram showing God's power through his word. Two sticks joined together. Two books joined together. Giving you God's word. Showing you his power. The immensity of his power. And if you, as my son-in-law would say, dilly-dally around through your life and waste your time following after false gods, you'll see his power, and it will be too late. But if you turn to his power and let it have place in your heart, well, then things will change. Go back to 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verse 146. And again it shall come to pass that the Lord shall say unto him that shall read the words that shall be delivered him. For as much as this people draw near unto me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, yea, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise and learned shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hid. And woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? And they also say, Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. But behold, I will shew unto them, saith the Lord of hosts, that I know all their works. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He hath no understanding? God doesn't understand us anymore. He needs to catch up with the rest of humanity because we have advanced so far. He's kind of back there in the back, and he just doesn't understand mankind nowadays, and things are different than they were back in the days of Jacob and all the rest of them. I've heard people in the world say this, even on the news. Well, things are different now. And God needs to understand that men have evolved, and these things are okay. It's right here. It's written down. You're going to say this in the last days. People are actually going to believe that in the last days, and they do. And it blows my mind that, you know, Nephi saw this. He saw it happen to his own people in Jerusalem, and he saw it happening to us now, the nations of the Gentiles. And he's trying to warn everybody. He's doing his best. He's doing what God said. So if they deny what Nephi said, is that on Nephi? No. It's God. God they're denying. Shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed of him say of him that framed it, He hath no understanding? But behold, saith the Lord of hosts, I will shew unto the children of men that it is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And the meek also shall increase, and their joy shall be in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Do you guys know, and I just found this out, do you know how many locals there are in the Philippines? Jim Case told me just this week, he said, we now have 65 locals in the Philippines. Do you know where they're at in the Philippines? They're in the poorest sections of the Philippines. And those people are happy. They're very happy. They just had 6 men called to the ministry this past couple of months. 6. Jim said it was 1 elder and 5 priests. They're happy in God's word. And the meek also shall increase, and their joy shall be in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For assuredly as the Lord liveth, they shall see that the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. And they that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. That's talking about you. They're the ones trying to reprove you and make a snare to catch you in the things that you say to them. Okay? Those people that are doing that to you, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore, thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of them, they shall sanctify my name. and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. At some point in time, they're all going to know. Those that murmur against you, those that point the finger at you, at some point in time, they will know. And it won't be your fault if it's too late for them, as long as you've done what you're supposed to do. Okay? So, now you have homework. Go out and do what you're supposed to do. All right? It's not hard. Just be nice to people. Pray for them. As you're praying for your work, pray for your coworkers that the day will go well for them. As you're driving down the road, pray for the other drivers on the road that everything will go well for all of you. The people in school, pray for your classmates and your teachers. Okay? Be nice. Be kind. Be gentle. Be meek. Okay? That doesn't mean let them walk all over you. It means to be firm in your belief, but be kind about it. Don't whip out that sharp two-edged sword and whack and cut them to pieces. No. Pull out that sword carefully, and very carefully start cutting them free from the flaxen cords that bind them. Through your words, your thoughts, your actions, your smiles, and your love. I love you all very much, and thank you all for being here this morning.